Support comes from Gemma, architects, planners, and designers seeking to bring joy to their clients and communities. Details at gemastl.com.
From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Thursday, November 20th. I'm Abby Larico. St. Louis Boeing machinists are back at work this week after voting to ratify a contract that ended their 15-week-long strike.
It's not ideal, but I'm just glad it's over for real, for real. We all work insanely hard. We should be paid more, but but not getting paid is not fun either.
St. Louis Public Radio's Olivia Mizell shares how the bitter labor dispute could still have future implications. That's coming up after this news on The Gateway. A trial that could remove Alfred Montgomery from the St. Louis Sheriff's Office continues today. Attorneys brought several people to the stand yesterday, including a former sheriff's captain and former acting jail commissioner Tammy Ross, who the sheriff ordered handcuffed earlier this year. Ross says the incident occurred when she was trying to prevent sheriff's deputies from investigating an alleged sexual assault at the jail by another sheriff's deputy until she received an okay from the Department of Public Safety. The Missouri Attorney General's office played a compilation of footage of Ross being detained by sheriff's deputies. Gregory Goodwin is a lawyer for the AG's office.
The Attorney General's office feels very good. We're very confident in the strength of our case, and we think the evidence is coming in nicely, and we feel confident.
The second day of the trial begins at 9 a.m. Dozens of loved ones of Samuel Hayes Jr. released balloons in his memory last night outside the St. Louis City Justice Center. STLPR's Lucretia Wimbley reports the gathering was also a cry for justice.
No more mercy!
Nearly 100 people are outside the city jail 3 months after Hayes was laid to rest. The 31-year-old died after he was placed in a constraint chair following an altercation at the city jail this summer. Tracy Stanton is a campaign strategist at the Freedom Community Center in St. Louis.
It's going to take a lot more of us, for all of us, to organize, to get the needs of the people met, but to get the demands made and to reduce the population of this jail.
21 people have died in custody at the jail since 2020. Hayes' mother filed a lawsuit against the city and jail officials in August, and a jury trial is tentatively scheduled for early next year. I'm Lucretia Wimbley, St. Louis Public Radio.
The Missouri Supreme Court heard two cases yesterday over different provisions of an election law passed by state lawmakers in 2022. As STLPR Sarah Kellogg reports, one is over several measures that restrict the ability to register new voters or vote absentee.
Some of the provisions being challenged include prohibiting the payment or compensation for seeking out voter registration applications and requiring those registering voters to be Missouri voters themselves. Those provisions were found to be unconstitutional by a circuit court. The state is seeking a reversal of that decision. Kristen Mulvey with the ACLU of Missouri said this case is about the infringement of core political speech.
It is about severe criminal restrictions that are viewpoint and content-based, overbroad, and impermissibly vague, which carry penalties of imprisonment, fines, and the permanent loss of voting rights.
If the Missouri Supreme Court upholds the circuit court's decision, then those provisions of the law will continue to be unenforced. In Jefferson City, I'm Sarah Kellogg, St. Louis Public Radio.
The Missouri Supreme Court also heard a case over the state's requirement of a photo ID in order to vote. Arguing on behalf of the state, Solicitor General Lou Capozzi said Missourians paved the way for an eventual photo ID law when they passed a constitutional amendment back in 2016. He also said that amendment passed over the objections of some groups, including the NAACP, which is one of the plaintiffs in this case.
Those groups made all the same policy and legal arguments that this court has heard today, including that it is too burdensome to obtain government-issued photo ID. But the people rejected those arguments.
Plaintiffs are arguing the photo ID law places burdens on voters and cannot pass constitutional scrutiny. If the Supreme Court upholds a prior circuit court ruling, then the law will stand. A federal court decision to strike down a new Texas congressional redistricting plan likely won't affect litigation over Missouri's new map. STLPR's Jason Rosenbaum explains why.
A three-judge panel struck down a Texas congressional redistricting plan that could have netted Republicans 5 more seats. The panel ruled lawmakers engaged in unconstitutional racial gerrymandering at the behest of Trump's Department of Justice. But Washington University law professor Travis Crum says Missouri's new congressional map is not facing litigation around racial gerrymandering. Rather, detractors are trying to get the plan knocked down in state court, contending that Missouri ran afoul of state constitutional guidelines around congressional redistricting. Texas is appealing the decision to the U.S. Supreme Court. I'm Jason Rosenbaum, St. Louis Public Radio.
An attorney with the Missouri AG's office has argued that the current Missouri map is an unconstitutional racial gerrymander by protecting a majority-minority district, but that may not play a role in whether Missouri's new map stands. Inspection on damaged properties is now underway in a program to help people repair, demolish, and clear debris from homes damaged in the May 16th tornado. Residents can apply through the Private Property Assistance Program to receive help with home repairs, emergency stabilization, and electricity reconnection. The program also provides demolition and debris removal services. City inspectors will determine how much work each property needs. Officials warn this may result in them declaring some buildings structurally condemned. St. Louis officials say those whose properties were destroyed by the tornado will not have to pay the usual fines and fees for such inspections. According to the city, more than 700 people have applied for private property assistance since the program opened a month ago. St. Louis aldermen are getting more details about a program to provide free legal defense to people facing evictions that's underfunded and so far underperforming. St. Louis Public Radio's Kayvon Mansouri reports from last night's hearing.
Attorneys with Legal Services of Eastern Missouri, who the city contracted to run the Right to Counsel program, shared its successes and challenges with aldermen at the hearing. While successful with tenants they can help, there are only two attorneys to handle the deluge of people seeking legal aid. The program hoped to serve more than 1,000 people in its first year, but served less than half that. Dan Baran leads the program. He says with more funding, they could serve more people.
We can fix the power imbalance that we have that's inherent in our state laws. We can help our clients avoid large money judgments that follow them.
Critics of the program say the city's lack of funding is to blame. The ordinance that created the program envisioned it would receive more than $1.2 million every 2 years. It currently receives roughly 20% of that amount. I'm Kayvon Mansouri, St. Louis Public Radio.
Illinois regulators have cut Ameren's rate hike request for natural gas even more than most expected. The Illinois Commerce Commission voted to cut the $129 million ask by nearly $56 million, but STLPR's Will Bauer reports it could still have an impact on people's bills.
The Commerce Commission's decision is being celebrated by consumer advocates. They've long been critical of Ameren Illinois' requests, saying they've put too much onus on their customers. Jim Chilson is with the Citizens Utility Board.
This is a big step in the right direction. We're moving in the right direction. But there's still a lot of work to do because far too many people are having a hard time affording their gas bills.
But Ameren had argued the increase was justified to help pay for improved delivery services. The utility company said it would make its natural gas system safer and more reliable. More than 800,000 people in downstate Illinois get natural gas from Ameren. It's not yet known how much bills will go up with the decision to allow a $73 million increase. I'm Will Bauer, St. Louis Public Radio.
The captain of St. Louis City SC says changing the MLS schedule to align with other soccer leagues around the world is a good thing. But as St. Louis Public Radio's Jonathan All reports, there's another major component of international play he doesn't see coming to the U.S.
Goalkeeper Roman Berkey says the new July through May schedule the MLS will put into place in 2027 will be good for fans and players. But he doesn't anticipate the league taking on another major component of international soccer, demoting teams that do poorly to a lower league and replacing them with other teams that win their leagues.
I understand that owners don't want to risk all the money they put in, that the team maybe can be relegated. And I think the biggest step and the most important step is the alignment.
Berkey says the new schedule will make it easier for players to come to the MLS, and the mid-December through January break will give players a mid-season rest before a push to the playoffs. I'm Jonathan All, St. Louis Public Radio.
St. Louis Boeing machinists returned to work this week after reaching a settlement with the company. They had been on strike since August 4th. STLPR's Olivia Mizell followed the more than 3-month strike and has this report on its settlement and the after effects.
St. Louis area Boeing workers streamed out of an auditorium at a union hall in Bridgeton last Thursday after the announcement that the company's contract was ratified and their months-long strike was over. Reactions were mixed. Many, including Daylon Evanson, were relieved to finally have a paycheck coming in.
It's not ideal, but I'm just glad it's over for real, for real. We all work insanely hard. We should be paid more, but but not getting paid is not fun either.
But the contract union members ratified did not have everything the union was striking to get. Union member Kevin Gray voted no on the offer, along with 32% of his fellow members.
It's just a couple of $1,000 added more on the front end, and that's it. It's like still, Boeing don't value us. They make too much money for us to be trying to start people off at $18 an hour. That's ludicrous.
Company officials said the average base pay will go from $75,000 to $109,000 a year. Most employees get an 8% general wage increase in the first year and 4% in each of the following years. Boeing said after the vote Thursday that it was pleased with the results. The company declined to comment on the impact of the strike. The contract includes a $6,000 ratification bonus, which is $1,000 more than the bonus in the initial offer from the summer. It also has a slight pay improvement for top-paid employees, which was a primary sticking point for union members. All in all, though, the contract is fairly similar to the first ones the union rejected that kicked off the strike. Washington University professor and labor expert Jake Rosenfeld says it is better than the previous contract that expired in July.
On the one hand, it's a much better contract than the one the workers were laboring under. So that's an indication of a win. But it does raise the question of what the last couple of months were really all about.
Gray says after 15 weeks of striking, the workers were worn out.
People tired. And that's what they was banking on. People getting tired.
Time was Boeing's most effective weapon in this strike, labor experts said. Michael Duff, St. Louis University law professor and an expert on employment law, says he teaches his labor law students that time is the enemy of the union.
You know, you're out for a period of weeks. It's looking like it's going to go into months. You're coming up on the holidays. You're coming into winter. You can imagine being out on the picket line during the winter. All those kinds of things start to factor in.
Duff served as a union shop steward in the airline industry before he started his law career. The previous contract before the one that passed was rejected by the narrowest margin possible, 51% to 49%. Rosenfeld said this indicated to Boeing that if they waited a bit longer, a similar contract would likely pass, and this proved to be true last week. So, now that everything is said and done, was there a winner in this strike? Duff says it was Boeing.
Yes, the company won. But I think the union didn't lose. I think the union got an opportunity to sort of rediscover the power that they have to say no.
Rosenfeld says the solidarity that the union maintained is impressive. But since this wasn't a clear-cut victory, it likely won't serve as a template for other unions to follow in their upcoming labor disputes. For this union, though, he says the members will not forget this when it's time to vote on a new contract.
In collective bargaining disputes like this, the memories are long, and so this will not be forgotten. If we have a situation where Boeing is doing well, you will have workers, I would anticipate, rearing to fight.
This contract is set to expire in 2030. I'm Olivia Mizell, St. Louis Public Radio.
Our Fred Ehrlich edited that piece. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, thanks for listening to The Gateway.